You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I just want to give a special thanks to Sven and Asmodor for filling in for me yesterday at the last minute. I had a little bit of a family crisis. Everything is fine on the Heimbach home front, but I had a little bit of a last-minute thing that took my attention away with my wife and son. So glad to be back, and I really want to thank them, as always. They did an absolutely amazing show to be able to fill in the line, and you know that's really what nationalism is about. You know, we believe in faith, family, and folk, and sometimes the family needs get in the way a little bit, and you know, being able to have comrades to help help in times of need is really great. So I just want to give a special shout out, of course, to Sven and Asmodor for filling in yesterday. But I am here today with Sven to be able to discuss a whole host of different issues: homosexuality, Islamic terrorism, demographic displacement, and fail politicians. So we've got a lot to cover today, and as everyone knows, if you've ever done a live show, that 30 minutes goes really, really quickly. So let's jump right in. So first of all, Sven, how are you doing? And tell us a little bit about what's going on the other side of the pond.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I'm doing really well. It's a beautiful summer's day here. It always seems to be a beautiful summer's day when we do our shows together. But yeah, the news today that I've just been sort of catching parts of it is that Prince William is going to be starring as a model on the front of a gay magazine. So he's putting himself on there at the front of this magazine for homosexuals to masturbate over, basically. And this is the monarch. This is the or royalty. This is somebody that could actually be the king. And they're basically just condoning sodomy. And another piece of news today, which is linked to the same thing, is Clement Freud, who is related to Sigmund Freud. Clement Freud has just been exposed as a pedophile. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Clement Freud over there in America, but he's quite a big BBC personality. He's been called a quote-unquote national treasure, and he's the sort of person that they would go to for opinions on things. So these are the sort of people that we've got leading us. These are the sort of people that we've got in our aristocracy, pedophiles and homosexuals. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, you just have to look at the Houses of Parliament and look at the people that are actually in government. A large portion of them are homosexuals. And it's exactly as Hitler said, that if you allow them to come in and you employ them, then they're going to bring in other homosexuals because they are going to want their kind of people to be where they are working. And they're going to want them on their team. So as soon as they lifted the law banning sodomy and allowed homosexuality, straight away you had homosexuals coming into Parliament. And now the place is just infested with them. It really is. I mean, the picture that we used yesterday for the show that we did yesterday, showing the Labour Party, a large portion of those people there in that picture are actually homosexual. So this is one of the reasons why it gets pushed at us so much, as if everybody just accepts it. It's because the people in power are perverted and corrupted. And that's where it leads to is pedophilia. You know, they can never just have enough of what they've actually got. They've always got to push it that much further. This is why homosexuals have drug problems. You even hear about them deliberately giving one another AIDS because they always want to take it that one step further. And part of that taking it one step further is pedophilia. Far more than just 2% of the population that are homosexual, are homosexual out of pedophiles. It's about 30 or 40% of pedophiles that are actually homosexual.
Well, that's actually something to touch on the Labour Party and things like that. There was a controversy. I mean, it's really been going on for almost 30 years. I was reading about recently, but the discussions of well-respected, you know, in quotes, politicians in England who actually engaged in basically orgies and things like that with children, and there was this entire cabal of pedophiles and homosexuals within Parliament, going back decades, that these people were getting away with it because they were chosen politicians and they could really do whatever they want. Could you maybe touch on that? I forget the gentleman's name, but he died recently, I believe, and it was exposed that he was a huge pedophile, and the idea of pedophilia and these orgies and homosexuality and things like that being long tolerated within British politics, within the halls of Parliament. Could you maybe go into that a little bit?
Well, I think you're probably talking about Greville Janner, Lord Greville Janner. And apparently what he was involved in was taking children from children's homes and raping them, basically. And he'd been accused of this a few times. I think there was more than a dozen witnesses have come forward to say that he had actually been doing this. The police had said they had all the information on him. And then when it came to actually taking him to court, they said that he wasn't mentally fit to actually stand trial. So he was never actually brought to trial for that. We've also had, I forget the name of the actual MP, but it was a huge fat Northern MP, a Labour MP, again, who has been exposed as being a serial pedophile. And even the guy that actually brought in the beginnings of the EU, has turned out to be homosexual as well. I think Ted Heath was his name. So right up the top there of the government, right at the top, these members of parliament had now been exposed as pedophiles. And during their day, people were saying that they were homosexual. Now, what they actually were pedophiles. And what they were taking advantage of was the most disadvantaged children that we have, children that have been stolen from their parents and put into children's homes. And in some situations that may have been because of actual sexual abuse. And then the very people that they are now supposed to be trusting, because they've taken them from their parents, put them in a children's home, the very people they're supposed to be trusting are then doing exactly the same thing to them. And it's almost a link from this to the Rotherham girls that were raped by the Pakistanis. A large portion of them were children that had been stolen from their families and then put into these children homes where they were then preyed upon by Pakistanis. So it's a really bad situation that we've actually got. Because these children that get taken from their parents, I mean, I don't agree with ever taking a child from their parents. You know, you only have one family and everything else is just material, but your family are the only things that are really yours. So if the state then take you away from them, you know, you're going to be really missing out for the rest of your life. Even if they have abused you, you know, they're still your family. So if the state takes you away from them, from your home, then puts you into another place where you are supposed to be safe, and then you then get preyed upon in that safe house by politicians and by judges and by people that are all part of the aristocracy. It's, you know, it's absolutely sickening. Now, the National Socialists put a stop to this when they went into Jersey. There was a children's home there, and this children's home over there, it had been known about for decades that this child abuse was going on there. And when the National Socialists occupied Jersey, they actually put a stop to it. They said, if we hear of anything like this going on, then you'll be swinging from the lampposts. And that's the only time that this abuse actually stopped in Jersey. And it wasn't properly investigated until a couple of years back. And then the police chief that was actually investigating it, he got removed from his office. And of course, all the Freemasons were involved. There's a lot of, because we know that the Freemasons all look out for one another and they all stand up for one another. And it's not saying all Freemasons are pedophiles, but you do have these pedophile groups that operate among them. And if they get caught, then the other Freemasons will stand up for them. And that's the problem that we face when trying to expose this pedophilia. There's a big scare about, you can't let your children out because pedophiles might get to them. But the bigger danger is these pedophiles that are actually in power. And it's moved on from homosexuals in power to being pedophiles in power now, especially when you see people of such stature as Jimmy Savile, who abused hundreds and hundreds of children. And it must have been known about by the authorities because he was friends with the royal family. So that meant he had to have been investigated by MI6. And also, if you work for the BBC, you have to be investigated by the security services. So they knew what he was up to. And again, he was preying on the weakest members of society. He was going to children's hospitals children who were ill that had terrible diseases, and then he was abusing them. So these people are so sick, and it's nothing to do with a sexual orientation, as they're trying to put it now. It's all to do with them corrupting innocence and destroying innocence. It's a real evil, satanic thing that they do. And what we see in today is they're trying to push it as it being the new type of sexuality, and that we should be pitying these people that do this. I mean, they're monsters. They're monsters that prey on our youth. And the beginnings of this goes back to homosexuality, because that's the only way a homosexual can reproduce himself. He cannot produce his own children. All they can do is recruit others. So they abuse children, and the children that have been abused, they get confused about their feelings, and then when they get older, they become homosexual, and they become attracted to their own sex, because their first experience of that is when they were abused by somebody from their own sex. So these are the reasons why we instinctually find homosexuality so repulsive, and why all the societies in the past have done what they can to prevent it. And the ones that didn't prevent it were soon destroyed by it. And the men became effeminate. They were unable to actually protect their nation anymore, and the nation becomes destroyed. So as we see our countries being invaded by these foreigners, we're not standing up to them. And instead, we're being told, well, we should be promoting homosexuality and the rainbow flag, and we're all one, and it's just a sexuality. So this attack in Orlando was really interesting, because it was two of the favored minority groups. It was the Muslims that are invading us attacking the homosexuals that we are supposed to be promoting. So both these groups that are promoted to us as being these wonderful people that we should be welcoming into us are totally at odds with one another. And as I say, just today we're hearing about this Clement Freud, who's a pedophile, and he's being exposed as a pedophile. So the problem here is they don't actually link homosexuality with pedophilia. It's the same thing has happened in the Catholic Church when they said, oh, we've got pedophiles in the Catholic Church. What they really meant was, we've got homosexuals in the Catholic Church that have joined the Catholic Church so that they can prey on the choir boys. But the media just doesn't want to draw a link between the two of them, because it doesn't want people to think of homosexuals as pedophiles. But that's where it leads to. This is what we see going on. So this attack on these homosexuals yesterday, we've even seen the government, people in the government saying we are all LGBTQ community, which, you know, I can't imagine anyone that is in the working class going along with that and saying, oh, yes, we're all just like these faggots, you know, we really sympathize with that.
Well, you know, and you hit a couple of different important things. You know, there's a reason why in the Orthodox Church we're not allowed to join secret societies, because secret societies inevitably end up putting the interest of the secret society and its members ahead of the best interests of the nation and the people. And that's exactly what we see. I mean, the post-Vatican II Catholic Church is a great example. I mean, the alliance between Jews and Freemasons, of course. I mean, you've got, of course, the Jews who do what Jews do. And, of course, there's huge cases, even within the Jewish community, of abusing their own children. There was a huge bust not too long ago in New York City about that. But then, of course, the Freemasons, who are the Gentile collaborators who put capital above everything. It's part of these secret societies. It's almost like, to a certain degree, it seems part of you know, their own degeneracy. But it's almost like, you know, David Cameron having when he was in his secret little club in college, who had sex with a pig head. You know, these deviant behaviors you do with your other members to kind of bond you together in a no one can rat on anyone else sort of thing. That it's all a wellspring of the attacks on the family. I mean, you think what we have here in the West when it comes to abortion. You know, we want to talk about, well, why would we be curious that pedophilia is happening when we've killed, just in America, close to 60 million unborn children over the past four decades? We've dehumanized children, the most defenseless. I mean, things like partial birth abortion, where the baby in many cases is viable. If they just delivered it, it would be able to live and survive and grow up to be a normal, happy, healthy individual. And they deliver it to the neck, and then they literally, as it's screaming and crying and kicking, has pain receptors, has a brain, has a heartbeat, everything that makes it a child by any biological definition of just science. Set morality aside, and then, you know, they pierce their neck and they scramble their brains, or they collapse their skull, and all these horrific things. You know, they decapitate babies in some cases. We've dehumanized the most defenseless. So why would we be surprised then when our society, when pedophilia runs rampant, when we've got these sex grooming gangs that we allow immigrants to do, and then even in the halls of power? I mean, Bill Clinton, for instance, has been exposed as having traveled not just one time or two times, as he had said, with a convicted pedophile in his private sex plane, where there were underage girls and things like that. He said to have now flown dozens of times with this degenerate, who I believe, if memory serves, is a Jew, former president, going back to his presidency, direct connections with pedophiles, direct connections with these Jews that are abusing children, direct connections with these Gentile elites that they use the people as cattle, basically getting the Jewish mindset when it comes to the defenseless. And ties in together with the spiritual decline of the West, because as we've lost our morality, as we've lost our families, they're trying to destroy the institution of the family through this gay marriage. And soon, I truly believe they're going to be coming and forcing churches, because if gay marriage is a civil right, as they've said, then how can you deny someone a civil right? You know, how can a church stand against civil rights? They did the same thing for churches that banned interracial marriage traditionally. You know, after the civil rights movement, the feds kind of came in and said, look, you guys are going to do these marriages because it's a civil right. They're going to do the same thing with homosexuality, to attack any institution that rejects the secularism, this degeneracy, this satanic ideology. And they're coming for institutions, they're coming to wear down the family, and then they're normalizing these deviant behaviors where we can kill children if we don't want. I mean, I can never understand how an abortion can happen after I was always pro-life. But when I saw my son on an ultrasound for the first time, when he was just a peanut size sort of thing, and when I saw that, I fell in love with that child, and so did my wife. And to see life, and then just to callously throw it away, even in some cases almost up to full term, when it's a viable human being. Once we've dehumanized the defenseless, once we've allowed for their murder, their abuse at the hands of these people is just the next logical step. I mean, as the family falls apart and traditional morality falls to pieces, you know, we've traded art for pornography, which many saints have called the devil's iconography, because it takes something that's supposed to be beautiful between a husband and wife. Sex is a good thing between a husband and wife. It leads to children. It leads to a closeness between a husband and wife. It keeps the family strong. Sexuality is a healthy thing, but our society has taken everything good and turned it bad. Now sex is just for mass consumption, where, you know, majority young white girls are being used, both from Eastern Europe and here in the United States, being pimped out in interracial scenes, or just in, you know, these violent, horrific, pornographic videos from all these Jewish producers. They've destroyed sexuality. They're redefining the family as, instead of being a man and a woman being together and having children and then being part of a community, they're legitimizing these sodomites and a mockery of marriage, even doing mock things with these fake pastors and things like that, where they'll have two dudes wearing wedding dresses and things like that. They're attacking the very definition of the family. They're trying to turn everything good and pervert it. And that tells me that this entire thing is satanic, because Satan's goal with the Jews as his minions here on this earth, you know, what is multiculturalism? What is globalism? It's breaking down the God-ordained space for nations, the family, all these institutions that we're supposed to be based on. Everything in the post-Second World War West is built around the idea of dismantling everything good and replacing it with an evil parody of it. And it's something that, until we have a spiritual revival and a revival of national sentiment, as you pointed out with the National Socialists putting a stop to it, that until we put a stop to this decline and rebuild our spirituality and our connection with our countrymen, these problems are just going to get worse, because the system wants to destroy every sacred institution, everything organic, everything healthy, everything good, and replace it with something evil. And it's our duty that we have to stop this. But at the highest positions of power here in the United States, in England, and throughout the West, these clubbable individuals is the term the Freemasons use, you know, somebody who can be brought into the club that are pedophiles, that are sexual deviants. Of course, they are at the same time trying to open up our borders and trying to dismantle our nations and take away our freedom of speech, take away our guns and things like that. That this is the natural outgrowth of what secularism and Jewish control leads to.
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to not having any restraints on sex, basically. And you're quite right there about the collective effect of this Holocaust of these babies, this just murdering of millions of babies. That shows you that they don't care about the baby, they don't care about the child. And then these pedophiles don't care about the children that they are abusing, that they're taking the innocence from. And it all comes down to not restraining sex, basically. Instead of sex being between a man and a wife and producing a child, sex becomes all about the gratification, the immediate gratification of somebody's desires. You can even extend that to the whole materialistic society that we have is all about gratifying the immediate desires. Whatever you see, you immediately want to have it today. You can get a credit card, you can get a loan, you can get a payday loan, just so that you can buy immediately whatever it is that you desire. And of course, once you do that, you just desire something else straight away. And it's the same with sex. You start off with normal sex, and then they get more kinky, more partners. You're encouraged to have more partners. You're encouraged not to settle down and get married. Then there aren't any women available. So the oversexed among us start going with men, become bisexual. Then they end up becoming pedophiles. And you end up, of course, with unwanted children along the way that end up being murdered. So sex and death, sex becomes about death. Instead of sex being about the production of children, the new life, the most wonderful thing there is, it becomes all about death. You know, and the ancients knew there was this link between the two. And they knew that if we were allowed to indulge in our desires, that is exactly what it would lead to. Is death, because that's what it is. It's people just giving in to their desires. And what we used to make a great thing of was people that refused to give in to these desires. This is why we had people that would swear oaths of celibacy. This is why we had people that would give up all their riches, and they wouldn't live in this material wealth. They would go do penances. They would whip themselves. They would sit in icy cold puddles saying prayers, because it was seen as a good thing to give up all these worldly goods and to turn your back on these worldly pleasures. Now, some of that may be a bit extreme, but it basically shows examples of the way that we used to be. What was seen before as the ultimate good and the right way to be, those were the people that were held up for it. Whereas today, the people that are held up as the ones that we should emulate are the pop stars, the TV stars, the soap stars, the movie stars, that all go through all these different sexual partners every year. And it's seen as the highest wonderful thing if you're homosexual. And then you come out and you talk about how much you love sodomy. Well, that you know, that's the greatest thing of all. I mean, that can only be topped by somebody actually mutilating themselves and cutting their genitals off and then claiming to be a woman. You know, that's the only thing that tops it. I mean, if you compare that to what we used to think of was good, which was people that would swear oaths to celibacy, to become a nun or to become a monk, to take these holy orders, or just to give up all your wealth to go and fight in the Crusades, to defend your country. These were seen as the highest good. Whereas today, it's been completely turned on its head, and the highest good is actually the highest evil. And it's when I look around at all of this, that, you know, this is when I know that this world is fallen and that there has to be a God, because, and there has to be another world, because a God would not create a world like this unless there was another one. And this was just a test for it, because something that's ultimately good would not create something that's so evil. I mean, just looking around me, the world is corrupted, isn't it?
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, for instance, I saw, you know, I'm so glad that this Jewish-backed coup in Ukraine has brought Western liberalism into, you know, a formerly very Orthodox nation. I saw pictures from a gay pride parade that was being held in Kiev, where they had men dressed as dogs on leashes marching in front on all fours in front of children waving rainbow flags and things like that. And then you just see, I mean, that's where we as nationalists need to understand what the system is doing. You know, it wasn't just, for instance, in Ukraine, a political realignment to push Ukraine to be closer to NATO and the EU. It was working to destroy the traditional faith and traditions of the people, where, you know, for instance, in Russia, in Moscow, the mayor of Moscow, I think last year, banned all gay pride events for 100 years, an entire century, like the longest time allowed to be done by law. They banned it in Russia's largest city to be able to say, like, no, you're not bringing that here. But the first thing the West does when they get in, of course, the Jews, like Poroshenko, you know, who's the original leader of Ukraine after the coup, you know, they looted all the wealth. They looted Ukraine's economy to be able to give to all these Jewish bankers and these Western oligarchs. And now they're pushing homosexuality. They're forcing school kids to march with rainbow flags in front of men dressed as dogs. I was seeing a thing the BBC was doing about people in England who view themselves as dogs and like to dress up in them and their bizarre relationships that they call them. It's absolutely just the total spiritual failure. That's why spiritual renewal needs to be one of our planks, because just save white people. Like if we in Europe right now in America were to stop all immigration and all, you know, the entire European world was entirely European again, that's still a world I don't want to be in as we see it. Because I've been to Portland and Seattle, and you know, those are two of the whitest cities in the United States. White people everywhere, absolutely freaking everywhere. But I absolutely hate those cities because there's homosexual clubs on every corner. There's drug dealers everywhere. The problem is demographics. Demographics is a huge issue. But if we don't take into account the need for a spiritual national renewal to get back to traditional values of strong families and strong individuals, I mean, as you talked about with monastics, you know, the church in Europe had a way to deal with homosexuals. Of course, all monks were obviously not homosexuals. Many were just pious, but that was a path for if you had those urges, that there was a healthy, constructive way that you could live a God-fearing life and be celibate and then be in a monastic community where you'd be spiritually led to reject those impulses, to kill those passions within you that are immoral, just like as a heterosexual man who's married. I can't run around and chase women because I'm married. I've sworn an oath. It doesn't matter if my biology and my passions, you know, tell me a woman is attractive. I can't go lie with her. I am bound to my wife. We are one flesh. And likewise, historically in Europe, you know, there's always been homosexuals, but there were healthy ways to be able to have them live out, usually normally very fulfilling lives, but getting them into a context where they can reject these passions, where they can understand that they've been given a cross. You know, all of us are given a cross, you know, whether it's wanting to gamble or wanting to drink or anger or things like that. All of us have a cross to bear. And traditionally, the way, you know, in European societies, we would deal with these crosses, of which homosexuality is one, is that through the community, through families, and through the institutions like the church, we could channel these passions to become more spiritual, to reject things of just living for the self and living for the moment. But now that's we're doing the exact opposite. I mean, like I said, everything about modern Western society is a parody of how things were even a century ago. And this is, I think, because of our spiritual decline. We can't just fix demographics. And that's why the NSDAP, of course, had as plank 24 of the NSDAP platform, you know, the idea of positive Christianity. And I've got some major critiques on elements of, you know, what positive Christianity kind of became within Germany. And that's an entirely different discussion. But the idea of, you know, you had Catholics and Protestants that understood that it wasn't going to be either a Catholic or Protestant Germany. But the idea of having a Christianity that works to promote morality and family and God-fearing behavior, that's what we need in the West. It's not just demographics. We've got a lot more to go on. And we need to be able to build a physical and spiritual renewal of our people if we're going to succeed. Because demographics is important, but it's not everything. So as we come to the end of our show, Sven, do you have a final thought for our listeners before we close out?
Well, I think you're quite right there about the spiritual renewal. We do need this spiritual renewal, but I think a spiritual renewal is far more likely to come if we have a homogenous nation and we do have areas that are just filled with with white people. I think a spiritual renewal would naturally then follow, because I believe that the other races bring in spiritual contamination. They bring in foreign religions, foreign idols, basically foreign gods that they bring with them, which corrupt our natural spiritual link with our creator and with our God. So if they weren't there, I think we would stand a far higher chance of having this spiritual renewal. But just on the individual level, it's really not good to give in to desire. Giving in to desire is like pouring oil on it. It's just going to cause it to inflame all the more. It's like if you're an alcoholic, you want to avoid being around alcohol. So the way to cope with these destructive desires is to avoid the temptation and to stop doing them, not to give in to them. The whole of our society just encourages people to give in to desires and temptations. And that's not good for society, and it's not good for the individual. So if there are any people listening that do have problems with things like alcohol, things like sex, and try giving them up entirely rather than binging on them. Because if you binge on them, things are just going to get worse. You'll go from being a small alcoholic to a large alcoholic. You'll go from putting it about a bit to ending up with venereal diseases and ending up being responsible for people getting abortions or having unwanted children. So, you know, just look at your individual life and try to put things right there. Because we can't change, you know, things on a large scale. You can only do that by changing things first on the individual scale. And a spiritual renewal has to come from the individual first. It's not other people that are going to do that. It's us. We're the only ones that can do that. So that would be my final thoughts for the day, Matt.
I definitely think, I mean, it's, you know, kind of my final thought as we come to the end is, you know, one thing from Islam, I think is key, you know, the inner and the outer jihad. And of course, that's a principle that in Christianity we understand there's the physical plane, but we also, it's not just battling, you know, as the scriptures tell us, we're battling against principalities. We're battling against incorporeal powers that we need to be able to wage an inner crusade, as I would call it. We're on a physical crusade to save our people, to be able to rebuild our nations, but at the same time, all of us have a duty to this inner crusade to kill our passions, to redirect ourselves, to live for our brothers, because there is no love greater than a man willing to lay down his life for his brother. And that means for our countrymen, for our families, for our children, that we need to be able to wage this inner and outer crusade for the sake of our people. So, Sven, thank you so much for being with me here today. Thank you, guys. We're going to be back tomorrow with me and Sven, continuing this discussion, and I'm going to look forward to seeing y'all then. Have a great rest of your day. Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.